Welcome once again to our program, Understanding the Bible, a Catholic approach to interpreting sacred scriptures. Our guest today is Ron Eldren, teaches Bible and history at John Paul II Catholic High. I'm your host, Father Larry Moran, Pastor Emeritus of St. Patrick, located at the intersection with the Shamrock at 19th and Poplar. Ron, we've been talking in this is our 16th series, and we've been talking about the most important book in the Bible, because it's the only book inspired, we say, or breathed in by the Spirit, or God, the Holy Spirit himself, and that to be ignorant of the Scriptures is to be ignorant of Christ, as the document from Vatican Council II taught us. And up to now, we've been talking especially why, as Catholics, we believe that the Bible, the 46 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, 73 books altogether, why the Bible is the mother of, the Bible is the daughter of the Church, and the Church is the mother of the Bible. And we've spent a series on talking about how the Catholic Church put the Bible together at the Council of Chalcedon, or Carthage, was it, 397?
397.
Finally, since then, we've been reading those books ever since then on the authority that the Church used to separate the wheat from the chaff, or what books belonged in the Bible and what books didn't. So we're really up now to talking about Bible translations, which there are so many, it's hard to distinguish. So could you say a word about various Bible translations?
The last couple of sessions we looked at two major translation philosophies. One of them is called the formal correspondence by biblical scholars, and the other is called dynamic equivalence. The formal correspondence is it essentially means it's a literal translation.
It's trying to stay as close as possible to the word order, even in the Hebrews,
yes,
and in the Greek, rather than making it a more richly or easily flowing English translation, because they're concerned about accuracy as much as possible.
Or any language, as far as that's concerned.
Okay, or for the Greek,
yeah,
of course, the New Testament came.
Or if they were translating it into Spanish or Italian or German or whatever, of course, the same rules would apply.
All right. Now, you're talking about the number of English translations of the Bible. How many English translations, more or less, do we have right now? Because I wouldn't be surprised a new one comes out in another 3 weeks or so.
Before I answer that, I'd like to mention the other one real quickly, and it's called the dynamic equivalence. And that's a looser translation where the translator puts it in the language in which his own contemporaries would use, rather than the form that they would use, let's say, 2,000 years ago.
Both seek the true meaning. They're not trying to deviate from the meaning, but the one would be a more up-to-date translation, the dynamic, popular translation.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I've read that there's over 500 different English translations of the Bible, so we're only going to consider a few of the more popular ones, both Catholic and Protestant translations. Toward the literal end, or the formal correspondence end of the spectrum, are translations such as the Protestant Authorized Version, AV, it's usually shortened to, better known as the King James Version of 1611.
Now, most good Protestants would probably know about the King James Version, even still use it.
Yes, very definitely. And then there's the New King James Version that came out in 1979 through 82. And then there's the New American Standard Bible, called the NAS, and then there's the Catholic Douay-Rheims Version, a New Testament and Old Testament.
And that's the one that most Catholics would have grown up with in our age bracket, because it was the standard translation that was used from the Hebrew and the Greek.
Well, the original, if I recall right, came out in 1609, 10 through that period. And then it was revised in 1749 by Bishop Chaloner. That's the edition that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1941, I understand that it was even further upgraded into a little more modern rendition.
Okay, so as we mentioned, wasn't the Douay Rheims or Rheims version sort of the official Catholic English translation for several centuries before Vatican Council II?
Yes, just as many Protestants believe that God revealed himself to us in Elizabethan English in the King James Version.
Sure.
I think some Catholics think that the patriarchs and the prophets and Jesus spoke to us in similar 17th century Elizabethan or Shakespearean English.
Thee and thou,
yes,
and shouldest and wouldest and really, you say Elizabethan English.
Well, we don't have time to go into the history of these translations. They are very interesting, but the translations are very different. And in fact, they're interrelated historically, but we really don't have time to go into that historical aspect of it in this
session. The Revised Standard Version is considered to be a literal, or as close to possible, the word ordering and the like translation. Is that correct?
Yes, the Revised Standard Version, known as the RSV, is considered a slightly less than literal translation, but still a formal correspondence translation, as well as is the New Revised Standard Version. This translation doesn't use the thee and the thy and the thou and the EST at the end of nouns and things of that sort, or other obsolete words. Although giving the history of this version would take too much time, just as with the others, there are both Protestant and Catholic versions of these Bibles. The versions approved for Catholics are called the Catholic editions, and the RSV is my favorite translation, in fact.
The Catholic edition of the Revised
Standard Version.
Standard Version.
Yes.
Okay, RSV.
And it's favored by many Catholics who are more conservative or traditional. And I understand that there is also a New Revised Standard Version that I mentioned a while ago, approved for Catholics, but this is not favored by more conservative or traditional Catholics too much, because although following the literal interpretation of the RSV, it uses gender inclusive language quite a bit, which tries to translate the original text into modern gender-neutral cultural equivalents. I've read that when one reads the New Revised Standard Version, he or she will often encounter friends and beloved and brothers and sisters, words like that, and then see a footnote at the bottom that would say Greek meaning equals brothers. In other words, the Greek book would say brothers, but then they translate it differently.
To make it neutral.
To make it neutral, yes.
Okay, for both men and women.
Also, to avoid masculine terms, it uses they instead of he quite often, turning entire passages into plural meanings. That can get very clumsy sometimes. Another thing that they run into when you say he, well, you could say he and she, or some people say he with a slash she, but obviously that wouldn't look very good in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So they usually just change it to they or some plural, which obviously is not the literal meaning. What it said, of course, in the original Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek or whatever. But the worst fault of this and other gender-inclusive translations is that they often use God or Christ when the original text says he. In other words, they do that to try to avoid saying he.
Because of its masculine connotation.
Yes. Now, theologically, this might not matter, and you know, in most instances, unless the use of the neutral gender questions the masculinity of the three divine persons of the Trinity.
OK, Okay, several groups in the church, St. Vatican Council II, have come up with their own translations in order to make them gender neutral or addressed both to men and women, as you were saying. And I even read a translation by a religious group that said, reading St. Paul, what was it, that it changed it. When I was a child, I thought as a child, when I became a woman, they put that in, I thought no longer as a child. Well, that was the most obvious situation, that it just changing the whole meaning of the text for a position that want the Bible to speak to women as well as to men in every instance. So there have been a lot of strange things like that have happened since Vatican Council II. Okay, well, give us some examples of mostly dynamic equivalent translations. They're an attempt to be a really good translation, but to put it into, well, let's talk about English, into modern English.
Although some scholars would classify them as formal correspondence translations, the New International Version, the NIV in 1973, New Testament 1978, Old Testament, mainly as an evangelical Protestant Bible, and the Catholic New American Bible, known as the NAB, there's the most famous, I think, the best known is the St. Joseph edition, of 1970, with only the New Testament and Psalms revised in 1987. These are examples of looser translations of the Bible, although, as I said, probably most scriptural scholars would classify these as formal correspondence,
formal.
But they're moving over in the direction toward the more dynamic equivalent.
Okay.
None of them use thee or thou or any other obsolete words, and both are translated from the original languages. But both are written in readable, contemporary English. The NAB is sort of the official Bible of the Catholic Church in the United States, for it's used in the lectionary of the Mass in this country.
Okay, so that's what we heard. We read from every Sunday at Mass.
Yes.
And so that's probably the most common, most Catholics would know about the NAB Bible, that's coming in contact with it at Holy Mass on Sundays.
However, with each revision, the NEB has gotten a little more gender inclusive, which renders it less acceptable to more conservative or traditional Catholics. Then there's the New International Version. It's a completely new translation of the Holy Bible, made more than 100 scholars representing more than 20 denominations. It's largely, if I recall right, mostly Protestant scholars.
Mm-hmm.
But they worked with over more than 5,000 complete or partial Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek manuscripts and papyri. It must be a pretty good translation, though, because Catholic Answers uses it as well as the Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version in answering their apologetical questions. However, Catholics have to be careful about using translations that are primarily Protestant, because they might not contain all the books considered by the Church to be canonical, as we spent at least a couple of sessions discussing, and because the footnotes might not, they might be misleading, even contrary to Catholic doctrine. I didn't look at the notes for this Bible, but it looks like it contains all the canonical books from glancing at the table of contents.
Okay, so as we talked before, the Catholic Bible has 7 more books in the Old Testament. That's the main difference between a Catholic Bible and a Protestant Bible. And then, of course, we get into the translations, which, as they get more and more scholarly, they have more and more text discovered to translate from. We even can, and you said one of your favorite Bibles is the Revised Standard Version, which is put out by the American Bible Society.
It originally was a Protestant translation.
Okay.
And then historically, we avoided going into the history of it, but Finally, Catholics considered it such a good translation, Catholic scholars, that they got the permission of the church to form a committee and a commission or something or another, and worked together on it, and came with new footnotes, of course, for the Catholic. There's not a lot of footnotes in it anyway.
Okay.
But the and not all the footnotes probably were changed, but those that the Catholic scholars would have considered not doctrinally correct.
Such as the brothers and sisters of Jesus would have a footnote saying these were his cousins,
yes,
close relatives, because it didn't have a word in Hebrew mm-hmm. or Aramaic for specifically for brothers and for cousins. Okay, well, finally, we talked about literal translation as close to possible, even of the word order. We talked about the dynamic translation, which is an attempt to give a real good, meaningful translation, but to do it in more updated, in this case, English, not necessarily following the word order of the Greek or the Hebrew text and put it into American or in good English. Now, there's paraphrases, which a lot of young people tend to read. So talk about what is a paraphrase of the Bible?
Well, of course, obviously, they're getting over to the dynamic end of the spectrum. That is, you know, the looser translations. In fact, sometimes they're very loose. One of the most, the best known is, one of the best known is the Jerusalem Bible.
Which is a Catholic Bible.
Yes, in 1966, and then the New Jerusalem Bible in 1985. And then there's the New English Bible, known as the NEB. The Revised English Bible is called the REB. And then there's one called the Contemporary English Version. It's known as the CEV. Those are Protestant Bibles. And then one of the best known is the Good News Bible, whose translation is called today's English version, TEV.
And you can find that multiple copies from the American Bible Society, even with little pictures in it, that are trying to give the latest update way to paraphrase what the scripture means.
Yes, I suspect that if one went to the Christian bookstore, Open Door bookstore, they would have copies of all of these, and probably some of the Catholic editions as well. They do keep some Catholic.
And a Catholic, if they were buying a Bible there, would just have to look and see if it says Catholic edition.
Yes.
And because they are good translations, but the footnotes particularly would be needed in the Catholic version.
That's absolutely critical, and we'll get into that subject in a little more detail later.
Okay. Now, since the Jerusalem Bible is a Catholic translation and was very much encouraged and talked about and said what a wonderful translation, I remember buying a Bible for a person about the time that the Jerusalem Bible came out, and it certainly is different from the Douay Rheims from the, back in the 1600s, very up to date and the like. Say something about the Jerusalem Bible or the JB Bible.
Well, it was based on a French translation, and the second edition is known as the New Jerusalem Bible. I understand that it, in the main, it tends to be a dynamic equivalence translation. The French translation was made from Hebrew and Greek text, Hebrew primarily for the Old Testament, Greek primarily for the New Testament, or maybe exclusively for the New Testament, as we've discussed in at least a couple of our sessions. And even though it is considered a paraphrase, for the most part, scholars, as you suggested a while ago, think highly of the translation, especially of the Old Testament.
And when we're saying a paraphrase, we're talking about, I'm telling you what my mother's letter said to me, but I'm just sort of trying to convey as accurately as possible. I'm not quoting her exact words because I don't have the letter, But Mom said she'd been sick a while, and she was in the hospital, and she's out now. So I'm kind of summarizing and paraphrasing the real essence of what she said.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You mentioned a few other paraphrases, text. What can you tell us about them?
Well, I mentioned today's English version, the TEV, also known as the Good News Bible. This is, I think, a pretty popular Bible among Protestants. I also mentioned the New English Bible, the NEB, and the Revised English Bible, the REB, both translated by Protestant churches in Great Britain. And these might be good enough translations, but as I said a while ago, Catholics should stay away from them, for like all Protestant translations, doctrinal errors tend to creep in such translations in the footnotes, even in the body. Sometimes the way they choose to translate a certain word might have a doctrinal implication that Catholics should be aware of. As I said, they're very fine translations, and if that's the way you think doctrinally, then obviously that's fine, you know, for people who read these books. But these footnotes will inevitably, you know, reflect a Protestant bias. Finally, there are several paraphrases which are not translations based on the original languages, but are paraphrased versions of English translations.
Okay.
And the best known of these paraphrases is the Living Bible, known as the, you know, just the TLB, and also known by some as just simply the book.
Okay. We've talked, Ron, about several of the 500 English translations of the Bible are in existence today. This can be very confusing to most of us. So how does an ordinary Catholic go about picking the best Bible translation?
Well, to begin with, as I just said, Catholics should read only Catholic editions of the Bible, mainly because Protestant Bibles tend to be translated with certain words that emphasize Protestant interpretations of doctrinal matters. Moreover, the footnotes also reinforce Protestant doctrinal interpretations. I mean, that's a natural thing, of course. Aside from that, one's choice of a Bible depends on how he or she intends to use the Bible. Catholic Answers, which is a leading apologetical organization in California, San Diego, if I recall right, and headed by a man by the name of Carl Keating, and Father Just, that we've quoted several times in our series. He's a leading Catholic, a Jesuit, a leading Catholic biblical scholar. And other biblical scholars advise us that if we intend to do serious scholarly Bible study, literal translations or formal equivalence translations are what we need. Translators using this philosophy try to stick close to the originals, even preserving much of the original word order, which can make them very clumsy.
Sure.
At times. Sometimes the meaning of a verse depends on subtle cues to the text, and these cues are only preserved by literal translations. They enable the reader to catch more of the detailed implications of the text, but, of course, at the price of readability. By using such text, the reader won't have to worry so much about the translator's views coloring the text. We call that eisegesis in one of our discussions, where the translator reads into the text his own preconceptions. Though even very literal translations are not completely free from this entirely. Examples of literal translations of Catholic Bibles include the Revised Standard Version, Catholic Edition that we discussed a little while ago, and then, of course, the Douay Rheims Bible.
Some Catholics, understandably, because they got it from their parents or their grandparents, really still like to read the Douay Rheims version, and that's fine, but it would really help to also, it's easier to read, to get a modern translation.
One of the editions that's out right now is the 10, and 10 puts out a lot of wonderful books. Although
you're saying T-A-N.
Yes,
Tan.
In Rockford, Illinois, yes.
Okay.
Although I would question a few of the books that they put out. But for the most part, most of the books are really very good. And they're putting out an edition of the And I have a copy of that edition. And they when they advertise it, though, it's almost like this is the way when they this is the way God spoke to us. And, you know, and basically what they're saying is that God spoke to us then in 17th century English.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, as we know, that just simply isn't
well,
true.
Well, it isn't. It doesn't update the words or should or shouldn't or thee or thou and so forth.
Quite frankly, I never read mine anymore.
Okay.
Once I've got the whole of the Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition, it reads so easily and easy to understand that I just never read the other. Now, on the other hand, those of us who read the Bible primarily for spiritual nourishment.
And not as just a scholarly research.
Or for historical, you know, information or something of that sort. Okay. Might be better served by selecting a dynamic equivalence translation which provides a more contemporary rendering of the text. And as we said a while ago, Catholic dynamic equivalence translations of the Bible include the New American Bible.
That's the one we read at Mass.
Yes. And the Jerusalem Bible.
Okay.
Father Just, he brings up another issue in regard to selecting a Bible. And he says that, quote, no translation is perfect. None of them can be completely literal or 100% identical to the original text. And there is no best translation. He even has the word best in quotation marks. All of them have some advantages and some drawbacks. In general, however, the most recent translations, that is, those that were translated in the 1980s or 90s, he tells us, are better than the older ones, especially the King James Version or the Douay Rheims, both about 400 years old. And not only since the English Bible has changed significantly over the centuries, but more importantly, because of the ancient biblical manuscripts that have been discovered in the last 50 to 150 years, which are much older and thus closer to the originals than the manuscripts that were available to the translators of these previous centuries. So what they're saying here, what he's saying here is that the latest translations use much older, they have much older text.
Manuscripts to draw from.
And they're more likely to be more accurate.
And then, of course, with like the famous and beautifully written King James Version, and the Douay Rheims, many English words have changed in 400 years. I think of the word gay. It means something entirely different, you know, to belong with
happy
the gay,
and gay.
happy and gay. But now to belong with the gay community means belong to the homosexual community. Or the word awful. Today, that it was awful what happened, but It used to mean full of awe before God. So a lot of English words have changed in the process.
I personally like the King James Version, all right. In fact, a lot of Bible verses that we've learned are from the King James Version, including Catholics. John 3:16 comes to mind, the version that comes out of the King James
and
Version.
And Psalm 23, the Lord is
yes. Oh, yes, definitely. There's another one.
That's so poetic and so magnificent in its description.
Yes. One biblical scholar has suggested that Catholics select several versions of the Bible, being aware of the strengths and weaknesses of each. And he says that it is often possible to get a better sense of what is being said in the passage by comparing them from several different Bibles.
Okay, Ron, our time has gone out. May God bless you all, always and in all ways.
Beside restful waters, he refreshes my soul. His love and his mercy have washed, made me whole. As I gaze upon his beauty, no words can tell my joy, for he's my rock.